A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 204. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about The Fades. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, The Fades, an award-winning supernatural drama from BBC Three, quite recent one, broadcast in 2011. 6 one-hour episodes dealing with a teenager who develops some strange powers and finds that he is a major player in, well, an almost apocalyptic battle that's going on between the living and the dead. Brian, quite a big theme for this show.
Yes, that's right. It's a very modern, stylized, sort of, I guess, young adult-oriented show. Not a kid's show, for sure. Definitely a show for adults. But a very dark, stylized, modern type of show.
Okay, and it's an interesting one.
So getting into the setup of The Fades, 17-year-old Paul has emotional problems. He has some strange visions. He has nightmares. He definitely has some issues. And then he realizes that he can see dead people. People who are dead walking around, and these are the Fades. And some of the visions and dreams that he is having actually seem to be coming true.
Yes, and that's right. We've got, as you say, he's has these strange visions, and he sees the Fades, who we learn are trapped spirits who have been unable to ascend. And for some reason, which I don't think is ever clearly detailed, ascension is broken. So these trapped spirits can't ascend, and they wander around where some people can see them. And meanwhile, there's a group of individuals known as the Angelics who are fighting a battle against these dead people, because the dead want their lives back and are prepared to kill the living in order to get what they want. And it perhaps won't come as too much of a surprise to find that Paul learns that he is himself an angelic. He has special powers, and in fact, he may be their chosen one for this sort of, as I say, huge battle between the living and the dead that is coming.
Yes, it's an interesting setup. You have this thing where the Fades, after they first die, have a period of time where they can ascend and go, be away from Earth anyhow. And they have specific points they have to ascend to through, and these ascension points are gradually disappearing, and there are fewer and fewer points they can ascend to. So they're trapped, and that means the Angelics and the Fades themselves, and even humanity has to deal with the situation. So it's interesting stuff. So getting into the characters, Paul, played by Ian Caystaker, who went on to play Fitz in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he is this troubled youth we've mentioned. He has no father in his life. He has these terrifying visions and, you know, has some strange things going on. And he's a bit of a nerdy outsider at school with very few friends apart from one.
Yes, and that friend is Mac, who is similarly very geeky, and perhaps even more so with his references to science fiction films and comics and so on. And in fact, it's Mac who realizes that Paul is developing superpowers, perhaps before Paul does himself. Similarly, Mac has his own father issues. His father is still around, but we'll talk about him a bit later on. And Mac also brings us up to date at the start of each episode with a sort of video diary which recaps the story so far. And they're quite witty, and initially they're very funny as he makes various science fiction references. So they're quite entertaining. And Mac was played by Daniel Kaluuya, who you may have seen in a British serial called Psychoville. He also played the straight man to Rowan Atkinson in Johnny English Reborn, the second Johnny English movie.
It was an interesting setup with these two characters because they were both sort of outcast at school and this sort of thing. But Mac is actually reasonably well balanced, and Paul is not, you know, has some real issues there. So it was an interesting way they set things up. Neil Valentine was played by Johnny Harris. He is the leader of this group, the Angelics, who know about the Fades and are fighting this battle against them. And he's sort of this guerrilla fighter type who will go to desperate measures and do nearly anything he feels he has to combat the Fades. And he is someone who has clearly seen a lot of pain and is a little broken in certain ways.
Yes, that's right. Neil and the rest of the Angelics are a slightly oddball group, and Neil is, as you say, quite a desperate figure. So it's interesting what happens to him and the rest of the Angelics as the story progresses. And we have to have a villain, and his name is John, played by the actor Joe Dempsey, who you may know as Gendry in the hugely successful Game of Thrones series. He is the leader of the Fades, and in a rather sort of strange and gory sequence, he finds out how to re-emerge as a living character and will become the main villain against Paul and the Angelics. But he's an interesting character as well, because they do give him some backstory about how he originally died and the love that he lost and how important it is to him to get back to a living body. So some interesting bits along the way with him as well.
Yes, it is interesting for sure. And there is a lot of development with him. He starts as this sort of ghoulish character that he's basically just a monster. You don't know much about him. And as it goes on, he changes radically and you learn a lot more about him. So there is a definite journey there, which is interesting to see. Sarah, played by Natalie Dormer, also in Game of Thrones, is a recently deceased Angelic who is trying to defeat the Fades from the inside, perhaps. You know, she's in this situation of being an Angelic who becomes a Fade. So there are some interesting things there, and we don't know exactly what she will do or what her allegiances are or will be.
Yes, and as you say, there are sort of several other characters as well. There's almost too many for us to cover, but there's some interesting stuff, because Sarah is the wife of one of the teachers of Paul and Mac, and her attempts to contact her husband after she's died are quite touching and moving as well.
Yes, that's a whole subplot of its own.
So anyway, we're off and running with Paul trying to figure out what's going on with these visions and these powers he's developing. Mac being a bit more level-headed, as you say, and helping him and advising him. And this sort of strange battle that's coming. And we've got an interesting mixture of what seems to be, at first, it's like a ghost story. We have these, you know, this character who can see dead people. Then we have this monster that's, it's quite like a zombie story. And without giving too much away, it's revealed that the Fades can regain a living body if they consume human flesh. So there's a sort of zombie thing going on. Plus, of course, we've got Paul's superpowers, which fits in with his geeky comic-based background. And as I've said, we've got this sort of almost religious battle going on between good and evil. So there's lots of stuff in this series.
Yes, it's definitely working on a very large canvas, so to speak. It covers a lot of ideas, and it really goes to quite a large scale in many of these things. It's definitely, as we mentioned, a very modern, stylized sort of show, and it has a sort of teenage, older teenage focus to it to some extent, because you have a few major characters who are teens who are in school, but it definitely has some rather adult content and adult themes in it, possibly more than anything else we've covered, although there are other shows like Misfits that do some of those kinds of things too. But it really does have some adult themes in there, which is interesting.
Yeah, so we should point out that there is sex, there is nudity, and there are quite a few gory horror moments, particularly in the earlier episodes as the Fades work out how to transform themselves back into living bodies. And the Angelics, who start dropping like flies, really, Brian. They get they have a very sort of high mortality rate, being an Angelic, it seems.
At this time when the show is taking place, that does seem to happen, doesn't it? And it's leaving Paul in this situation where he is clearly the one who has the power to step in and save himself, save the ones that he loves, and change the course of things in this battle. And, you know, he has the power, but he doesn't necessarily have the maturity and the wherewithal to deal with these kinds of things. And that is something that it gets into as well. And things in this, it's all really set in this one town, but things are rapidly spiraling out of control, and we see that over the course of the six episodes.
Yes, and we don't really learn much about what's going on elsewhere in the world. It all seems to be set in Paul's town, which is, we get the impression it's some sort of small suburb of London or something like that. So it does seem to concentrate on that. We don't know if these events are sort of mirrored elsewhere in the world, probably because it's just too intense and all-consuming to follow our bunch of characters here in what's going on in the series.
Yes, that's right. This small location is sort of viewed as the focus for the series, and it isn't clear if it really is the focus of all of these events or if there are related things happening elsewhere.
My dreams are coming true.
Your dreams are coming true.
When that guy shot at me, I followed him. He fought with his creature. I can't describe him. He wasn't human. The gun and the bullet, they prove it, don't they? That the dreams are sort of real, which means I'm what?
Heather Langenkamp from Nightmare on Elm Street.
That is such a compliment. Heather Langenkamp's an utter legend.
So let's get to our production notes and talk about the making of this series. We'll talk about the writer first, Jack Thorne, best known for the very successful teen drama Skins. And if you're familiar with that show at all, you'll sort of recognise the sort of adult themes that he tends to put in his writing. And he's also well known for his collaborations with the renowned British film director Shane Meadows on the TV series This Is England 86 and This Is England 88. And we know that in 2010, BBC Three approached him to create a new series. And where he went with it, well, it was quite interesting, Brian.
That's right. He was inspired by his childhood favorite writer, Susan Cooper, with books like The Dark is Rising and what he had termed as folk horror. And he sort of took that and ran with it. And the series was produced by Carolyn Skinner, known for production work on Doctor Who and also An Adventure in Space and Time. They had Susan Hogg on board as an exec producer.
And for directors, we've got the first three episodes directed by Farron Blackburn. Again, has got connections with Doctor Who because he directed the Christmas special for the 11th Doctor, the Doctor, the Widow and the Wardrobe. And he also directed the episode The Rings of Akatarn. And then the last three episodes of the series, directed by Tom Shankland, who was one of the directors on Dirk Gently, a series that we really liked. And he's now, I think, also known for his work on Ripper Street, which is, again, quite successful, I think, on demand now it's gone to.
Yes, definitely one that's been quite successful, though. They filmed in Oxy, a suburb of Watford, and they used this abandoned shopping center, which was called Oriental City. And they actually really took advantage of that setting using this abandoned, sort of falling apart shopping center. It came into play a couple of times during the series.
Yes, we'll see the abandoned shopping center as sort of one of the settings in the first episode, but we're going to return to it at the end of the series. So, they made quite a good use of that setting.
Yeah, it really worked quite well for them. The Fades was broadcast on BBC Three from September 21st through October 26th of 2011.
And, interestingly enough, as we teased in our introduction, it won a BAFTA. In fact, it won the 2012 BAFTA for Best Series. It beat Misfits, which had won in 2010. And just to give you an idea of some sort of, you know, how important that award is, 2010 was Misfits, 2011 it was won by Sherlock. So here in 2012, we've got The Fades winning the Best Series BAFTA. And I was trying to think about this, Brian, and whether there'd been any other shows that we've covered on British Invaders that have even been nominated for a BAFTA. Now, I know that David Tennant, I think, has won as actor, and he's recently been given a Lifetime Achievement Award by the BAFTAs as we record. I think that's just happened in the last week or so. But the only other show I can think of where the actual series was nominated was the 1989 Nigel Neale adaptation of Susan Hill's Woman in Black, which we've covered in the past.
Oh, that's interesting. I think we may be getting to one or two other series that have gone to the BAFTAs, but it's certainly true that in science fiction and things related to science fiction that we cover in the past, not that many of them have gone to the BAFTAs with nominations. In the past few years, there are more of them, as this one has and Misfits did and so on. But it's definitely it's something that we don't see all that much with the shows that we cover.
No, and as I say, it's in very good company with Misfits and Sherlock. But interestingly, at about the same time as it was getting its BAFTA, it was also announced that there would be no second series. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in our next episode when we get there.
Yes, slightly awkward timing there, perhaps. But let's talk about the availability of this one.
Okay. In Region 2, as ever, we're fortunate to have a nice DVD release, which currently is on Amazon for £9. But at the time of recording, the Blu-ray is available for £6, which I think is an absolute bargain. So obviously you get all six episodes, you get some deleted scenes and outtakes, you get some more little video diaries from Mac, which I suspect may have been used as TV trails. I'm not entirely sure about that. They're not part of the episode, so I suspect they may have been used as TV spots.
I think they were available online at the time or something like that.
Oh, that might be right, yes. You've also got eight behind-the-scenes shorts. And again, at the time of recording, many of these extras are available on the BBC Three programme website at the moment. Obviously, you can't watch the full episodes there, but there are some clips and some of these behind-the-scenes moments and extras. So currently up on, as I say, on Amazon, £6 for the Blu-ray. You can also get it on iTunes for £6.99 or £8.99 if you want it in HD. And over in Region 1, Brian?
Over in Region 1, it has been released on DVD and Blu-ray.
Woohoo!
Yeah, Amazon.com has the DVD and the Blu-ray sets. They're both about $26 for either one. It is about $16 to get it as a high-def download on Amazon Instant, or it's actually free if you have Amazon Prime in the U.S. iTunes has it as well in high-def, about $16 U.S. in Canada. Canada, it's about $17. Amazon.ca does have the Blu-ray and DVD, but they're a little pricey on the Canadian site. It's about $40 for either one. So you'd definitely be in better shape bringing it in from the U.S. or using the iTunes download. But it is available with lots of options in Region 1, which is great.
Okay, nice to be able to get hold of this series in lots of very easy ways, both in both regions.
And in high-definition versions as well, which is really nice for a recent show that was produced in high-definition.
Splendid.
So, next time, we will look at the story of the Fades in a bit more detail, and we will talk about the reasons that it wasn't continued, maybe, and didn't get a second series.
Plus, of course, we get to give our own thumbs-up or thumbs-down review of the Fades and tell you whether you should be spending your money on it.
Absolutely. We have lots of good stuff to talk about next time. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders.com, and you can find us on TheGeekCultureNetwork.com, where we're part of the Geek Culture Network with some other podcasts. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. We have a nice little community with some of our listeners. It would be great to have you come and join us there.
Absolutely, do drop by. And also drop by the Voice of Geeks Network, where you'll find many, many wonderful geeky type podcasts, the sort of stuff that Mac probably would consume, and the ones that you'll enjoy as well. That's at VogNetwork.com. Drop by and say hello.
Yes, they have a nice sort of participatory community there, which is really quite neat. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thanks very much. Until next time, when we hope to have the pleasure of your company again, it's Eamon in England, also signing off.